Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. A very warm welcome to the first podcast at our new revamped, very plush studio. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm joined this week by James Hill and Keith Melrose from the Racing Post, as well as Paddy Power's James Ryan, to look ahead to the last racing before Christmas. Decent action at Ascot and Haydock, and there's a few other meetings as well as we try and swell the Christmas coffers. The action takes place on ITV4, and we'll start with four races at Ascot, which, fingers crossed, will survive. The Friday meeting went ahead after a very, very late inspection. It's really, really chucked it down in the south of England. So we're expecting now dry conditions between now and Saturday. So racing should go ahead. Let's start with the 150 at Ascot. It's the Plymouth Gin Handicap Chase, the first of three very competitive Ascot heats. James, take it away with Paddy Power's show of betting.
Yep, we're four places here to start off. Well, an Espoir de Gaia is our 4-1 joint favourite with First Flow, Kubrak 8-1, Golden Whiskey 8-1, Delir Destreval 10-1, Mr. Medic 10-1, and 12-1 bar.
James, well, they could have made it a bit easier, couldn't they, going into Christmas? These are tough, aren't they?
Yeah, no, this is a tough one if you want to get some money before Christmas. Really hot race. One I like down the bottom is On the Slopes. Consistent, a progressive performer. He ran really well at this course back at the November meeting. He was up with the pace all the way, jumped well. Probably just got a bit outpaced, but I think this slower ground will help him. He's got plenty of form on soft ground, so I don't think that'll be an issue. He is a novice, but he gained some crucial experience in open company at Kempton last time, so I think that'll stand him in good stead.
OK, Keith, are you confident going into the last Saturday before Christmas?
It's a really tough one. Most of the races we're going to look at are either small fields or exceptionally tough to pick one out of. This would be one of them. It's one of those races that at very first glance you think, God, this is exceptionally tough to pick the winner. Have another look and, you know, they could pick sort of small holes in quite a few of them. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm desperate to oppose a Espoir de Gaia or First Flow, but there's just enough there that at 4-1 in a race like this, you do feel like you can have a go. I don't think Golden Whiskey's form last time was particularly good, even though he was interesting going into that. And I think there's a reasonable bit of scope to take a bit of a flyer on a really well-handicapped old horse here, which is Garde la Victoire. Now, there's obviously been issues because he's only run twice since the 2017 Halden Gold Cup, but that day he was rated 156 and now he's rated just 144. I mean, an encouraging update from his trainer would be nice, given he's been off since, I think, for a year now or more, but it wouldn't be absolutely vital because look at the gaps in between his races. The fact he's 10 now and that Dickie Johnson's chosen him over Warsound. And I think you can infer a reasonable chance that they've got him fit for this. He's won a great mood, but most of his best chase form has come going right-handed. And he's obviously well handicapped in a big race. So, you know, you're getting sort of 12, 14 to 1, and I think that's worthwhile.
The sort of horse, Keith, that if you didn't back him and he won, you'd be kicking yourself, wouldn't you?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, if you didn't back him on the basis that, oh, I'm not sure this is the day, and there'll be bigger days down the line, you certainly would. And, you know, you've got to look for clues. We can't always rely on trainers telling us what's going to happen. And, you know, I just think with the fact he has so few days out at the moment, the fact that Dickie is on him, I think you can take it that, you know, I'd take evens that he'll be fit and ready.
Fair enough. James, who's going to be your first tip of the day?
Yeah, I really like Espoir de Gaia here. I think he still looks well ahead of his mark of 130. His first start over fences was a blinder. Nearly got taken out at the first fence, and then he absolutely flew home. He's only beaten by Simply the Best, who's now £15 higher than when winning on that run, and he's after coming out and won again since. The third has come out and won, the fifth has also come out and won, and like he was really staying on well that day. The 2 miles is just too short. He's come out again and absolutely bolted up an extra next time out over this trip. So I just think this trip is going to really suit him. And Venetia's horses, I don't think they've ever run better. Like 21% strike rate for the year. Her last 11 runners, she's had 9 winners. And even if you go back to this lad's novice hurdle run, get Flash the Steel, like Flash the Steel came out and won a big handicap hurdle at the start of this year. He's still off 130. He looks like a real slick chaser. He's still only five. I think he could be really progressive. I wouldn't be surprised if this ended up being 145 horse come later on the season. I think he's could be fairly chucked in here.
Okay, yeah. Everyone is moaning about the rain we're having, but the last person you will find complaining will be Venetia Williams. This is very much her time of year. Now, I promised three competitive races at Ascot. There's another one which, according to the market, isn't competitive because the favourite is the Great Paisley Park, the reigning Stayers Hurdle champion. However, we spoke to Connections and I think the front page won't give you a sneak preview into tomorrow's Racing Post. The headline is something along the lines of Journey into the Unknown, because they are concerned. It's Paisley Park's first run on really, really heavy ground. So he's got that box to tick, if you like. But he's very short, James, isn't he?
Yeah, he is indeed. He's 1-5. The World's End is 10-1. Lammy Surge, 12s. To Be Fair, 12s. Agri Park, 16s. And Papagan at 20s.
Keith, first of all, what do you make of Paisley Park's chances? Do you think it's a penalty kick? If you do, who is the one for the forecast or the betting without?
You look at Paisley Park and you often think he's a sort of shorty. You can get beat in these smallest field races, given he does take a while to build up that head of steam. You know, he's never run, I'm not sure many horses will have run on ground this testing. It'll be revved to similar conditions in this race here. He used to love this sort of deep winter Ascot ground. But I can't see it. He's just got too much on from a class perspective. We've thought lots of times, oh, you know, he was in trouble down the hill in the Stairs, and other times too. He just always finds enough. He's a bit like sort of English Dreamer in that regard. In terms of for forecast or betting without, I think you can quickly narrow it down to two. And one of them is dependent on Lammy Surge being fit enough to do himself justice. Now, it's easy to forget that two starts ago he won the Aintree Hurdle, but obviously that was now 18 months plus ago. He's the one with obvious class. He's still the second highest rated on BHA figures. And, you know, if he could guarantee he was fit, he'd be six as five. So listen to what Connections see on him and whether there are bigger targets down the line for him, because he's a grade one horse, really. And it's also sort of easy enough to forget that the World's End, he wasn't a match for Paisley Park at Newbury last time, but he is quietly in the form of his life. And in a small field like this, could get an easy lead. So while you watch Newbury and think he can't beat Paisley Park, you could well see him finishing in the forecast places.
I'm going to nail you down. Who are you going to go for to be second? Lammy Surge or the World's End?
You've got to go the World's End before you hear what Lammy Surge's Connections say.
Okay, jolly good. Well, Lammy Surge's Connections will hopefully be telling our reporters, who will relay that info in tomorrow's Racing Post. James Ryan, what are you going to do here? Sit and watch or take on the jolly?
No, I think this will be a sit-and-watch race. But I think the betting without market will probably be a fairly competitive betting without market. I can imagine the two outsiders in the field getting bigger in prices than the couple, as people kind of pick off kind of those each way, even the two-place each way market. I can see the others being a bit shorter. But yeah, I think, like, Agri Park, you know, is going to love the ground, but he's been so disappointing the last while. Even in France, he hasn't run great. But I'd probably half-chance him. I think he'll be a much bigger price tomorrow. And even in that betting without market, you know, but there's five, there'll be five runners and there'll be two each way. So probably not a bad market to get involved with from each way perspective. And I'd probably go either part in that each way betting without market.
James, does the soggy surface deter you from really getting stuck in on Paisley Park?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Paisley Park will like the heavy ground. Some of these great stayers have come unstuck round Ascot in the past when the ground's been really testing. I remember Barracuda coming up unstuck against a couple of Martin Pipe horses. But just looking at the opposition, there's nothing really there that makes me think that there will be a massive problem for the favourite. He's got about a stone in hand of the rest of the field, at least. If there was to be an upset, Lammy Surge, if he's on his game, he's run well in this race before, when I think he finished second behind Sam Spinner. He's not, for me, the most reliable, but he has got perhaps enough ability if Paisley Park was off his game to cause an upset. But I don't think he will be. He's so consistent nowadays and he stays so well. I think he'll win this.
Right, distance betting is increasingly popular. So I'm going to ask you very simply, lads, to give me a number. How many lengths will Paisley Park win by? Keith?
Probably four or five. Don't know.
James?
Six.
And Jimmy?
I'll go seven.
Seven. Don't sound too enthusiastic, Keith. 3 o'clock Ascot. I take it you're not a distances punter. The Dave Dawes Silver Cup Handicap Chase. Over 3 miles. This will take some getting. What's the latest betting, James?
Yeah, and more importantly, we're money back as a free bet here, Bruce, if your horse finishes second, third, or fourth for a tenner, which is a pretty decent offer. And Give Me a Copper is our 5-1 current favourite. The Altari is 11-2, Clydesdale 6-1, Mr. Malarkey 6-1, Creefield 7-1, Jerry's Back 7-1, 8-1 bar.
So, just to flesh that one out, as James said, if your selection finishes second, third, or fourth, and you have your bet with paddypower.com or via the Racing Post app, up to a tenner, you get your money back if the second, third, or fourth. Can't say fairer than that. Who wins it, James Ryan?
I think I'm going for another Venetia one here in the Altari. He'll love the bottomless ground, has the form on it. A lot of these, you know, mightn't go on it as well as what he might. He ran pretty well here in the Group 2 behind two other solid horses, Mr. Malarkey and Lamb McGinty earlier in the year. Arguably would have finished a good bit close to them, but he absolutely played through the last four kind of half running on again. And just Venetia's horses are in such good form, and she can get them running real well off the back of a really long layoff, as we've seen kind of in the early handicap chase at the end of the year. Once this ground comes, I'd always kind of keep Venetia on side.
Okay, James, who's your selection?
Altari interested me, but my preference was for Jerry's Back. Just looking at the Philip Hobbs stable tour a few months ago, he said he thought this horse could win a big prize sometime soon. And Jerry's Back, he's at his best going right-handed, likes soft ground. He had very good form when he ran at this meeting last season as a novice. He was second to Vindication, had a few good horses in behind him in finishing runner-up. He didn't run well first time up, but I'm expecting big improvement, and today could be the day for him. He's owned by JP McManus, also has Regal Encore. I'm expecting that one to go really well too. He always runs well at Ascot, so it could be a 1-2 for JP.
Keith, a devilishly difficult test or a piece of cake?
I'm not sure whether this says one or the other, but I share the view of the other two lads. The three that I had it down to are the three that have been mentioned so far. I'd be backing Altari sooner rather than later. I think the Venetia factor is going to make sure he goes off really short. But as James says, you know, that he was starting at Reynolds Town, closely matched with Mr. Malarkey on that form, and especially when you consider that he forgot to jump the last. Apart from that, he is a really good jumper, suits the soft ground and should go really close. The Jerry's Back point about going right-handed is also the point I'm looking for, and he will be better for Newbury. That was a very much a first run of the season type race, and I will just expand a bit more on Regal Encore then, given the case that James just mentioned him quickly. He was second to Vindication, who was a good thing at this track. He's got loads of good form round here, and I thought even in the Ladbrokes Trophy at Newbury last time that he was looking like he was going to get himself involved before he absolutely belted the cross fence, and that was the end of him. I think he's in better form than the current figures let on. And while it's obvious that Jerry's Back seems to be the McManus one for this race, you would not be at all surprised to see him running a big race.
Excellent. It gets no easier in the 3:35, which is the Betfair Exchange Trophy, a 2-mile handicap hurdle. It is wide open, James.
It is indeed. And because it's so wide open, we're 5 places here. Queed Enough is our 6-1 favourite, followed by Harambe 7-1, French Crusader 7-1, Umbregado 15-2, Not So Sleepy 15-2, and 10-1 bar.
Jimmy Hill, we're going to need those 5 places here, aren't we?
We are, yeah. There's I had a big shortlist for this one. The two I came down on the most strongly was last year's winner Mahead, back down to the same mark as he won off last year. Dan Skelton, sole runner in a big 2-mile handicap hurdle. I think he's of obvious interest. I don't actually think he's run as badly since as figures suggest. And also the 94-rated horse on the flat at the bottom, Not So Sleepy, won at Ascot last time. He's only gone up £5 for that. You might think being a flat horse, the conditions won't be favourable, but he was third on heavy ground in a Group 3 on the flat, and he was also fourth in the Cesaro, which stays really well. If Jonathan McGirt can get him settled well enough, I think he's got a good each-way chance.
Keith, who's your selection?
I'm largely in accordance to James here. I think the big question to ask is to what extent did Johnny Burke take the piss out of them last time around here? Because he gave him a massive lead and he made it count. But he's only gone up 5, as James says, and I think the form looks pretty decent. And, you know, I think they were all interesting horses going into it, and the third's improved since. The fact he's such a hard puller is the worry, but he has got loads and loads of testing ground on the flat, and you can go up hard and win this, as Sten Rubin showed a couple of years back in this when he dead-heated with, Jolly's Cracked It. The last time as well, the Not So Sleepy ran, that was his first run over hurdles for a while, and just his fourth overall, so maybe once he gets sort of used to more of the hurdles-type pace, he'd be more relaxed with it behind him. Final thing just to mention, with the ground being so testing, I would be very interested to hear what Chris Gordon has to say about the absolute rag of the field Remoulin. He kept turning up at big prices and testing ground in these sort of races a couple of years back. He won on trials day at Cheltenham. He was fifth in the Betfair Hurdle, second at 50s in the county. He's not run since the following month, but Chris Gordon could hardly be in better form. We talk about Venetia. Chris Gordon's had something like five winners in the last fortnight. And if he has got this horse fit, he could just pop up and surprise at big odds again and run into the first five would do when you're backing a horse at 33s, 40s.
Interesting, like that. James Ryan, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, similar to the lads, not so sleepy. Won't bring up a whole lot, but like he's fairly stole the race at the start, as Keith mentioned the last day, and that's probably why he only got £5 for it, but the form looks like pretty good in behind. He won't get a soft lead today, but I still think you could have quite a bit in hand off that mark, and he was a good bit slicker over his hurdles than he was when he started his career, so I just think off that mark of 127, he still could have quite a bit to come, and obviously off a low weight on this kind of heavy ground, kind of another little bit of an angle, but I think he's fairly solid here.
So, three votes for Not So Sleepy. What price is that one, James, again?
He's 15-2.
15-2, and you get five places with Paddy Power. Brilliant. Let's do Haydock next.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. We've done Ascot. Let's look at Haydock's two races on ITV4. Now, starting with the Betway Tommy Whittle Handicap Chase, takes place at 2:40. It's a race that you kind of think you should be looking for Grand National clues, but always throw them up of late. But it's competitive, as you would expect at Haydock in the winter. It will be bottomless. And here's the latest from Paddy Power.
Vintage Clouds is a joint 9-2 favourite with De Klondike and the Hollow Ginge. Cross Park 6-1. Laura de Mesnil also 6-1. Topwood 7-1 and 10-1 bar.
Tricky, Keith Milrose.
It is. I mean, there's a lot. You mentioned there at the top of the weights that are really familiar old names. You've got Cross Park, you've got Vintage Clouds, you've got the Klondike, Top Woods. The Hollow Ginge was a horse I was really interested in last time when he ran at Haydock, but it disappointed me that day, so I would also sort of look past him well. The two, I'm going to look for a less exposed type, and there's a critical mention for Late Romantic, but the one I'm focusing on is Orchardstown Cross. Now, you could throw out his last run that was at Ascot. Militarian nicked that from the front, and an Orchardstown Cross was still last, turning into that run of four fences to three out. So, you know, you can really throw that run out. And he travelled as though he was still in form, and he had won his three before that. But held a Gold Cup deal at Hexter. He absolutely dotted up. He made a huge move turning in. That wouldn't have helped, and he still did it really well. The second, again, like Orchardstown Cross, had no luck the next time. But the third won at Sandown the other week, and the fourth and fifth were 1-2 in the 3.5 mile race here on Betfair Chase Day. So, you know, it's good form, and he's a progressive horse. If you are able to throw out the Ascot run, as I'm suggesting you do, maybe 5 sixes for this and with a joint favourite. So I think you're getting a lot bigger than that at the moment, and he's the one I'd be looking at.
A very strong case from Keith. Can you agree with that, or are you going to take something else on James Ryan?
Yeah, it's a fairly trappy race. I've kind of gone to the Vintage Cloud, basically, because of Haydock horse form that obviously in this type of ground, it can always kind of bounce back, as we've kind of seen over the years. You know, he's run 9 times here, been in the top 3 8 times, won twice. Again, the last day, he just didn't take to the entry fences at all. You know, he was almost scared of them and ran no sort of race. And we'll probably know quite quickly whether he's taken to the fences again, because I suppose he hasn't quite, you know, run up to proper form in his last couple of runs. But hopefully the smaller field here should suit him, and maybe he'll get a bit more of an eye at his fences and jump a bit better. But it'd only be a small bet for me here at Vintage Clouds.
Small bet or big bet for you here, James Hill?
I would say medium bet. De Klondike, I would say, looks the solid pick here for myself. He won this race last year off £6 lower, but the key for me is the stable's in much better form this term than it was last. He's a real slugger, so heavy ground, 3 miles around Haydock is perfect for him. He ran in the Ladbrokes Trophy last time, where they went far too quick for him. But, I mean, he didn't disgrace himself there, and he ran well over hurdles on his reappearance as well, so he's in good form. And although he's higher in the ratings, I'd still side with him.
And the other race on the box at Haydock's the 3:15. It's the Betway Heed Your Hunch Handicap Hurdle. 2-mile 3. Take it away with a show, James.
Shitty Balco is 13-8. Poetic Rhythm 7-4. Captain Moret 7-2. Romeo Brown 10s off the hook 10s.
And what do you recommend, James? Should we stick with the Fav or look elsewhere?
No, I think we have to stick with the Fav here. He's just coming into this in good form when there's a lot of question marks over a lot. The others, quite a great him having his first start of the year. Captain Rhett coming in on pretty decent form, but the other two rags, I think they'll be a good bit bigger on the day. I think Donald McCain's horses are running, you know, pretty well this year in comparison to last year. Just the fact there's so many question marks over the others, and he fairly bolted the blast on, even though he's on a good bit higher. But the second Burroughs Park that day has come out in one since. I just think it's fairly solid form. I think he'll be hard to beat.
What about you, James Chitabalco, for you as well?
I think there's a really interesting one in here. Off the hook, I think she could be really quite well handicapped. Plenty of form on heavy ground, including over this course and distance last term, in a mare's race that's worked out really well. If you look at the first, second and fourth, she finished third in that. The first, second and fourth are now rated at 135, 127 and 146. She's running today off 118, and they were racing off levels that day. She didn't show much in her reappearance, so that is a concern, but she tends to come on for her first run quite a bit. So if she's in similar form to that Haydock performance, then I think she's got to be thereabouts. I think she's got a good chance.
Interesting. What do you think, Keith?
Yeah, I've looked at it, and of the two favourites, I thought I'd far rather be with Chitabalco. Poetic Rhythm, he's been off over a year, and you would never see a Challo and a Persian War and all that are sort of weak races, but you would have expected races of that standard to maybe work out a little better than they have. Chitabalco had been keeping really good company until he scooshed up last time, and he has loads of course form too, and he remains better handicapped than when he was third in this race last year. I think he's about 4 or 5 pounds lower.
Okay, in 10 seconds time, we'll find out what else the lads fancy on Saturday and also get their King George thoughts.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18plusbegambleaware.org.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, James Hill, Keith Melrose and Paddy Power's James Ryan. Looking ahead to the rest of the Saturday action, we've got the undercards at Ascot and Haydock. We're also racing at Newcastle, Lingfield and over in Ireland at Thurles. So, boys, what else do you like? Don't give your nap away, James.
Yeah, there's a horse that Richard Newland sending up to Newcastle, running in the 140, Dustin Demott. He ran well at Newbury last month in a decent-looking race, finished fifth, and he's racing off £3 lower here. He's got plenty going for him. Just a concern is how well he'll settle here, because he does pull quite hard. And on this ground, that would be a concern whether he gets home or not. But he does have form on this ground in France, in his racing days in France. So if he does settle well enough, he's got a good chance.
And that's in the...
That's in the 140 at Newcastle.
Keith, what have you got for us?
I've got something in the 140 at Newcastle. I thought Dustin Demott was a good thing, whether it be last time back at 2 miles. Back to him, I thought he was quite disappointing under pressure. So I totally get the angle. I mean, the way that Newbury race, he was fifth in. He did pull too hard and he shaped really well. But, you know, I'm now once bitten twice shy with him, especially back at 2.5 and really testing ground. So that was why I was against him. I had Glittering Love down as possible. Obviously, that's its first run of the season, so it might need it. Well Above Par got loads of rope last time. Ascot Debrier might have done its winning last season. Geronimo needs further. And I'm scared of the Dubai way, no question. He's gone up £9 for last time. And I think River Frost, the one I'm interested in this race, you know, assuming that he keeps on rolling the way he has. I really like the form of Market Raisin last time. He was second that day, looked the winner until he walked through the last. And Buster Valentine won that. Looks like a horse going the right way. Hasn't run yet. Rocco has since run a couple of good races in defeat. He was third. And Roll Again obviously won during the week at Ludlow, I think it was. So form of that has appealed to me from the start and has been frank since. So assuming River Frost keeps going the right way, I think he's got a really good show.
Anything else, or is that it?
That's it.
Jolly good. James, what have you got?
Yeah, I'll just call it a couple. There's a listed race on in Lingfield in the all-weather tomorrow for all-weather lovers. Dubai Warrior is a really interesting horse, but just at Lingfield, Victory Bond has a seriously good record here. And they faced each other in a handicap on Dubai Warrior's last start, which he won, but it was Victory Bond's first run of the season and definitely needed as he was outpaced all the way down the back. I just think the price disparity between the two of them is going to be too big here. I can actually see him running pretty well, and you know there's only going to be the two places on offer, but a quarter of the odds I can see Victory Bond being 4-1. I think he's a bit of a no-brainer each way play there, and like Lingfield can be a tricky track, especially for a big galloping horse like Boy Warrior, so he'd be a favourite that I'd be willing to oppose. I suppose the 115 at Ascot's really one of the better races of the day, with the Riders of the Storm Obviously, they had the bit of an issue last week with the non-runner, the twist in Davis Yard, but he'll nearly just be a good race to watch. He'll be fairly hard to beat, I'd say, as well. And then in Thurles, Max Dynamite, the 110 rated horse in the flat. He's down to 105 in the flat now, but didn't really take to his hurdles too great. He's running in a beginner's chase tomorrow, so no matter what he'll do, it'll be interesting anyway, and he'll be definitely worth the watch.
Okay, loads and loads of very well-reasoned cases for all the TV horses and a couple away from the TV cameras. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Are you going to go for James Hill?
I will go for Off the Hook in the 3:15 at Haydock.
Keith Melrose?
Ultra Stone Cross, Haydock.
In the...
Tommy Bottle.
Which is the 2:40 for those that like to put the times on the betting slip. And James Ryan, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, the 1:50 and Ascot, Esparta guy.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much, chaps. Now then, before we go, obviously really, really fantastic Christmas period. We've got three nice quiet days for the stable staff to get a well-deserved rest. But we're back on Boxing Day with the highlight being obviously the King George. How do Paddy Power bet on the big race at the moment, James?
Yeah, Surname is our 11-8 favourite. Lost in Translation, 15-8. Flandazobo, 4-1. Footpad, 9s. Pistolcrack, 14s. Labago, 33s. And Aso, 66s.
Really looking forward to this one, James Hill. But who will cross the line in front?
I think Surname, if he stays here, will win. I was just so impressed by his jumping at Ascot against Altior. Stamina is a definite question mark. You know, people talk about, you know, Kempton being a speed track, but in December, when it's quite tacky, they're going, you do have to really get the trip. So that is a question mark, but his jumping is so good. I think that will help him hugely. So it's an end for me.
Keith Melrose, who is your big race selection?
I prefer Lost in Translation. Yes, Kempton is a speed 3 miles, but it's a 3 miles that needs a bit of speed rather than another way around. So Surname, with that doubt over stamina, that's enough. I thought that I was actually at Haydock for the Betfair chase, watched Lost in Translation win, clapped them into the winner's enclosure, went straight back to the bar and backed them for this because I thought the price at the time was far too big.
That what did was you a get?
It was just bigger than 7-2 on Betfair.
Cool.
Because
nice.
I thought, well, how is he that price for getting that Surname had won? It hadn't even occurred to me then he would try going 3 miles because I was a massive fan of his as a novice. He was just a bit of a nutter. He's calmed down a lot more now. The way that Cobden rode him at Ascot was an absolute masterclass in controlled aggression. So I'm not sure that pooling's going to be what beats him if it does. But, you know, the Betfair chase was a real speed 3 mile performance from Lost in Translation. Don't be fooled by how he was ridden to get it out. He finished fast that day. That was a really good trial for a King George, and I think he will beat Surname.
Good stuff. James, who are you going to go for?
Yeah, very similar to Keith's Lost in Translation. I just think he's such a slick jumper. I actually think, Surname will obviously go out at a good pace and be jumping well, but I think Lost in Translation will be able to jump along with him and, you know, hopefully not sit too far behind him, and I think he'll stay all day. And if this weather kind of keeps up, the ground will be fairly soft. It'll probably put a bit more emphasis on stamina. I think he'll stay, so he'll be the one for me.
Okay, great stuff, chaps. Many thanks to James, to Keith, and to James. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, please do make sure you rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. And if you're watching on YouTube, why don't you drop us a comment down at the bottom telling us who your weekend fancies are. That is me done for the year. I'd like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a lucrative 2020. We'll be back on Monday when no less than Lee Mottershead is taking an in-depth look to not just the King George, but all the other Kempton goodies, the Welsh National, and everything else that is happening over a packed Christmas programme. So do join us for that. Keep it right here with the racing postcasts over Christmas and into the new year.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ BGambleAware.org.